Good evening. The most important element in Zen practice, the thing that this practice emphasizes the most, is the idea of taking care of everything, taking care of all things, especially relating to things and to people in the moment. One very simple example of taking care is when you need to wash your hands. You know, you go to the sink and you turn on the water and wash. You turn off the water and dry your hands and go out. What would you think of someone or of yourself if you didn't turn off the water, but just dried your hands and went out and left the water? It's hard to imagine anybody doing that, but what would you think? You would say you were being careless, or that person was careless. They cared less, didn't take care. So taking care is about completing your activity without any traces, you know, completing it just right. There are many other examples we can talk about, very simple ones. For example, in the monastery, in the Zen monastery, when the monks want to enter a building, they take off their slippers and they put them down very carefully, so and out of the way, so nobody who comes along will trip on them. So the slippers are put down, you know, like this, very carefully, one side by side, and put away. If a monk were to take off their slippers and just throw them down in some kind of careless way, they would be severely scolded. Throwing our slippers down in that way, just carelessly, is the same thing as not turning off the water when you finish washing your hands. These small activities, but the mind, the attitude of the mind, is the most important. It's taking care of each activity. So if we leave the water running after we wash, or if we throw our slippers down in some convenient way, it means we're doing these actions without mindfulness and without reverence. Without reverence for the things and without reverence for our own activity, not taking care. So when we wash our hands, we do one little small effort to turn off, very small, and placing our sandals down carefully, very, very small activity. And we remember to do these things because we are emphasizing taking care. And this taking care attitude, you know, if we extend it to everything we do, not just the sandals and not just the faucet, when we extend taking care attitude to everything, it extends beyond just simply a rule about practicing everyday activities. This taking care attitude is actually the basis of wisdom. A really good example is in my favorite story, my favorite Zen story, which I talked about before. It's the story of Joshu's bowls. It's called Joshu's bowls. Joshu, as you probably know, was very, very famous Chinese Zen master in the 8th century, 9th century. He's a big guy. Very wise, he lived to be 108, and he had great discipline, didn't complain about any hardship, and very wise. And so the story is that when he was head of some temple, a brand new monk came to see him. He comes before Joshu and he says, Reverend Sir, I'm a beginner. I am new to this practice. Please explain how to practice Zen. And Joshu says, have you had your breakfast? And the monk says, yes, I have. Joshu says, well, then wash your bowl. And the monk says, I understand. I get it. I understand. When we look at this story from strictly a logical standpoint, we have some questions. Joshu knew that he knew the temple schedule. He knew what was going on, and he knew that breakfast had ended hours earlier, and that this monk had breakfast with all the others, and all the bowls were put away. And so when he says, did you clean your bowl, he's not talking about actual bowl cleaning, something else. He's talking about something else. And so you say, what's going on here? He knows the bowls have been cleaned. He knows the bowls have been physically washed and put away. So why would the Joshu ask this monk if he had his breakfast? So he was instructing the monk without explaining that he was instructing the monk. He was aiming to arouse the monk's subtle understanding, you know, beyond logic, beyond directions. This was, to understand this story, we cannot use our logical analysis. Joshu is telling the monk, when he says, go clean your bowl, he is really telling him, when you do something, end it cleanly, leave no traces. The monk had said, please teach me Zen, and Joshu was saying, this is how we keep ourselves clean. So Joshu's message in his response to the monk is larger than about cleaning the bowl. He's saying the bowl is you. The bowl is you yourself. And what you need to do to keep it clean is not beyond you, is not outside yourself. So this is a story about cleaning ourself, keeping ourself clean. So Joshu is answering the monk's question about Zen by saying, Zen is not outside of you. Zen is not outside of yourself. It's here and it's everywhere. So when you wash your bowls with reverence, this is how you wash yourself. This is how you wash away any idea of separate self. The self that craves convenience. To wash ourselves means to keep ourselves clean, moment by moment. So we need to make this small extra effort continuously in order to wash. To wash and keep ourselves clean. And so when we wash ourselves, through the standpoint of our practice, it's not about getting rid of some kind of soil or getting rid of dirt or food in the bowl or getting rid of body smells. We're not striving for a spotless self or a pure heart. Washing ourselves through our practice is not about becoming perfect. To wash our bowls when we are finished eating means to let go of any notions of a small self, separate self. The separate self with its desires and its complaints and its ideas of success, and with its ambitions, with its anxieties and disappointments. We let go of that self. Each one of us will experience these sensations from time to time. We can't help it because we're human and we have these kinds of emotions. They come up and they're not wrong. They're not inherently wrong. But if we insist on holding on to them when they arise, then we are creating a fiction. A fiction of a separate self who is saying, I have a right to have desires. I have a right to be angry. I have a right to be ambitious. And this comes about because we feel entitled or justified to have a separate self. None of it is justified. To hang on to anger, to hang on to disappointment, and to hang on to ambition is never justified. No matter how much we think we are entitled to have these things, it is a misunderstanding to hold on to such feelings after the initial flash, the flash of anger, the flash of desire, the flash of sense of ambition. Even though when we have this kind of feeling, and think, oh, this is true, this is real, I have to keep it, I have to keep this feeling. I have to continue to have anger against this person because I'm right. I have to continue to have this ambition because I'm entitled to succeed. If we hold on to these feelings, we will simply prolong the fiction of a separate self. And then we lose our true self and we will feel trapped. Trapped in an anxiety that never ends. So Joshu says, wash your bowl. Wash yourself. Keep yourself clean. When we fall in love with our grievances, or fall in love with our entitlements, we consider ourselves a kind of royalty, a prince. This is my right. I'm a princess. I should have this. And we feel we have some kind of charisma that justifies this attitude. I heard a story on the radio, PBS, a story about the sea lions who were on the brink of extinction and were put on the endangered species list. And over the years they came back. They came back from extinction and became very populous once again. But now they are threatening the fish population. And so the fishermen want the sea lions to be off of the endangered list so that they can be hunted. But the sea lions are so cute and look so playful that their charisma will save them. The charisma may save the sea lions, but it won't save the fishes. So we have to be careful when we have a special feeling about ourselves. I have this charisma, I'm special, people really like me. This creates problems. Maybe not for ourselves, but for others. So our practice is to wash ourselves, to clean ourselves, to keep ourselves clean. So by practicing this way, we learn to pay attention to things and to what we are doing. And we pay attention to not allow our ego to intervene in our actions. This is how we wash our bowls. And this is how we always come back to ourself, clean, clean self. Not separate self. If the separate self comes into being, for a moment we just let it evaporate. We wash our bowls and let it evaporate. Whether you are born or not, whether you die or not, the true self is independent of birth and death. Like we just chanted. Even though we may be anxious about such things, our true self is independent of birth and death, and the small self is a fiction that we have to let evaporate. So how do we wash our bowls, and how do we come back to ourself? In the Zen mind, beginner's mind, Suzuki Roshi says, so when you practice Zazen, your mind should be concentrated on your breathing. It is the fundamental activity of the universe. This simple activity. So when we sit, we pay attention to our in-breath, and we pay attention to our out-breath. Without analyzing anything, we simply let our body and mind feel the texture of the breath in and out, to feel the texture of our breath. And when we give it our full attention, we see that our breath is very gentle and it's warm. It's soft. It's flexible. And it doesn't stick to anything. It just comes and goes as needed. So as we stay aware of our breath, our mind becomes the texture of the breath. And we ourselves become soft and flexible like our mind. When the mind follows the breath, and when the mind becomes the breath, then we are washing our bowls every moment. And then there are no traces of emotional activity. When there is no separation between our breath and our mind, then there is no sense of justification. A sense of entitlement does not arise. The ego does not arise and so doesn't insist on clinging to some emotion, such as anger or lust or some grievance or fame. The ego does not exist on clinging to some emotion as if this emotion were some kind of unalienable right. So when our mind becomes the breath, there is no small self to interfere with expressing our true nature. Well, of course, we will experience the mind becoming anxious, or the mind becoming overwhelmed or excited. This happens in our daily life. So if it happens during the day, we come back to our practice. To clean our bowl, we simply sit down and bring our mind back to our breath. Wherever we are, we find a minute or two to sit down with a Zazen mind and breathe deeply. Let the mind follow the breath, and in a few minutes the mind settles down. And we are ready to take care of the next activity with a clean bowl. In the temple and monastery, we wash our bowl at the end of a meal so that we are ready for the next meal. And in our daily life, we keep our mind washed so it is ready for the next activity. When the mind can be calm, can become calm without any special effort, there's no need to consciously follow the breath with the mind. It will naturally follow without being aware of following. Like washing your bowls after the meal. During retreat, when we have meals, and when somebody brings us, at the end of the meal, they bring us the water, and we clean the bowl, we don't say, "Oh, now I'm washing the bowl." It's natural. We just do it without thinking about it, without giving it a name. Of course, at first, this practice with the Oryoki bowls is a bit confusing. It's quite a little bit elaborate. But after a time, we get used to it, and we can eat with them and appreciate this mindful, careful ritual. And we wash the bowls, and we put them away without thinking about it, without thinking this is some special effort. When we use those bowls, we just pay attention to each step, to each activity, and to each taste which comes to us through the meal. Just take care of each activity with such mindfulness that there is no trace. This is our practice. This is the practice that has been given to us by our ancestors and our teachers. If when we extend this attitude of taking care to each relationship and to each activity, then there's no problem. And we find that we are living our existence in the most complete and truthful way. Are there any questions tonight? Dave.
Les, when you describe this attitude of feeling entitled to hold on to our anger or greed or aversion, that all rings true, but I'm puzzled by one thing. It seems very natural, not only for people, but for other animals, even quite simple, to avoid pain. And if something that they do produces pain, then they stop doing it. It's almost the definition of pain. Pain is a mechanism to make you stop doing things. And yet, the second of the Four Noble Truths tells us that the root of our suffering, the root of our discontent, is this clinging and grasping. Why don't we stop? Why is it so hard for us to stop doing that? Why don't our minds just automatically pull back from those things that cause us such pain?
I think we continue to do things that cause us pain because of misunderstanding of what we're doing and of who we are. We have the idea that the activity or the attitude is good for us, is beneficial for us, gives us some advantage. This small view of the world, small attitude. When we see things in a large way, then we can see the things that are truly of benefit to us. And we recognize that holding on to those activities are not what we thought they were. They don't give us the advantage we thought they did. So it's a matter of having a bigger view of the world so that we can let go, finally let go of these activities that we have been mistakenly clinging to. So, you know, if we meet someone who's angry and says, I'm an angry person and that's who I am. I am inherently angry and I'll always be angry because that by definition I'm an angry person. This is a small view. This is a very narrow view of who we are. And in order to break that cycle, we need to open up. Thank you.
I'm not concerned about some current events like mass shootings and the attitude that people are having about people who are Muslims or people who look like Muslims. And I here I am, just sitting here. Here I am, just sitting here.
It's important that we practice with the mind of just sitting here. That is the starting point for putting an end to all that for all that misunderstanding in the world. What we have been doing here for 50 years and what the people before us have been doing for many centuries, maybe someday will be noticed. And even now, the whole idea of being mindful has caught on. Have you noticed? Last few months, there are many classes and programs for people to learn mindfulness. And your practice and everybody's practice has helped make that very credible, so that people are open to that. So just sitting here is first step, a creative first step in bringing peace to the world. So I am optimistic that after several more centuries, we may get some peace. Yes, please, Shamba.
So really, like giving your bold story of the monk going to the master and saying, "Teach me Zen." And the master saying, "Did you have breakfast? Clean your bowl." But in real life, I can relate to it, saying that this is the monk saying this is unrelated. I'm trying to tell you to teach me Zen, and you're telling me about the bowl. This is what happens in real life too. When you're telling somebody to clean your bowl, I mean, something has to be taken care of before even looking at, you know, the specific thing. And it's sometimes you see, we end up being judgmental about things like how people are addressing other people, or how the world is going. But then, clean your bowl is a very important message. That all we can do is clean our bowl. Then, I think that there was a question of anger, entitlement, And then the justifications for all the wrong things. There's no justification. They're wrong. So I don't know if clean your bowl also means that if you really clean your bowl, there's no need of justification. Do those things, will they be taken care of if everybody took care and cleaned their own bowl? I'm just interpreting it to understand in real life different situations. But it's very difficult. When you say clean your own bowl, many times it is always considered as it's unrelated.
If somebody says, "Oh, teach me Zen," and you say, "Have you washed your hands?" "Yes, I have." "Well, then turn off the water." And you say, "What? Of course I turned off. That's, of course I turned off the water." But then you go think about it. Yes, it's important to do that step after each activity, that ending the activity without any loose ends, ending it cleanly. It's quite a simple concept, but sometimes we forget when the activity is more than just turn off the water. When the activity is has to do with some complicated relationship, maybe we don't quite understand what cleaning the bowl means. But our practice helps us learn.
Taking care of something, it was beautiful that you have to take care of something end to end, you know. So, but you know, in the busy world that we live in, everybody thinks that I'm doing a lot of things, I have more important things to do. And, you know, start something and then I have more important things to do. Leave it and go to the next. So, you told the story of the shoes being dropped. It's the way I relate to it in real life is basically, okay, this is, I did this, I have to move on to the next one. I did this, I have to move on to the next one. That's the driving force. It's so many things to do. I'm so busy. I have more important things to do.
Yes, that's right. So if everybody were to do their shoes in a careless way, if a visitor were to come and see that, they would say, "Oh, I can't practice here," and they would leave. But when they come and they see everybody has taken the care to put the shoes away in an organized way, they say, "Ah, that's very encouraging." So we take care of ourselves in that way to encourage others. It's not complicated. Thank you. Yes, Colleen.
Thank you. I hear what you're saying about not going, losing a self and getting into arrogance. And I'm assuming it goes the other direction as well, that you don't want to go into a small self where you feel unworthy. Entitlement or unworthy. But is it okay to take responsibility for cleaning one's bowl and being with the moment of cleaning one's bowl and in that moment, is it an attachment or a preference to be in gratitude for the, just to enjoy the process of cleaning one's bowl? To see the beauty of it.
Yes, to see the true value of it, the universal value of it. And to have the feeling of confidence that arises that says, I am part of this universal process by taking care of things. It creates a wonderful feeling when we have that attitude. If you go to a Starbucks, and as you're walking towards it, there's some Starbucks cups on the ground. If you pass them by, you miss an opportunity. But if you say, oh, pick it up and put it somewhere, you feel that you're participating in taking care of the world in some small way. So we never overlook an opportunity to take care when it shows itself. Dave?
My submission of Starbucks reminded me of something that happened at work the other day. I have to confess that at work I drink far too much coffee. And that's sort of because it grew to have an espresso machine about every 20 feet. But one of the things that you notice about these espresso machines is that they're usually pretty messy. I mean, there are coffee grounds and there's water and stuff all over the place. And I was trying to make a habit after I'm finished of just wiping things up and leaving it cleaner than when I arrived. And somebody looked at me doing this the other day with this sort of attitude of like, don't you have more important things to do? I laughed and I said, no, you've heard of Japanese tea ceremony. Well, think of this as Italian coffee ceremony. You have to take care of it.
Yeah. And it's your workplace. And it's everybody else's workplace. What's the problem with taking care of it? Sometimes it's a little challenge to bring our practice into the everyday world when people don't understand what you're trying to do. Thank you. Are there any announcements tonight?
We're having our holiday party on the 20th, which is on Sunday,